Father, we love you, and God, we thank you so much again for this night. I thank you for these folks, and Lord, you heard the prayers of your people, and Lord, we are thankful that we can come and bow before you, a holy God in every way. And Lord, you hear us, and your Son intercedes on our behalf, and Father, as we come in a time of need, Lord, you answer according to your will, and we pray for every need that was presented to you tonight, those for health needs, those for unspoken, those for salvation, our missionaries and the praises, and Lord, you heard every prayer that was lifted to you. Father, I pray that you'd have your perfect will inside of that. I pray that through everything good would come, and your word also promises that all things work together for good to them who love God, and so I pray for good to come from some of these situations, Lord. Have your will, have your way in the service tonight. Speak to us through your word tonight, and Father, may you be honored and glorified. We do pray as we think about election week. We look ahead this next 6 days to the election of the president of our country. And Lord, we know we live in the greatest country in the world, but we know she has her flaws as well. God, I pray that you would just have your will and way in this election, Father. We do pray that you would put who you would have. You're a sovereign God. You're in control. You set up kings and you take them down. And so we just pray for your will to be done inside this election. And may we just seek to honor and serve whoever it is that you place into that position. And Lord, we just pray that you'd have your will. I pray for our country as a whole, that we would seek to return to you and seek to live according to your word, to govern according to your word. And Lord, we desire the church to do what the church is called to do and the state to do what the state is called to do. And so we pray for your will in all of that. Father, have your will and have your way in this service. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, if you got your Bibles, go to Genesis 9 and we'll look at civil government as we, if you need a lesson, she's got some handouts here to bring out to you. She'll bring those around. Genesis chapter 9. Verse 6, as we're looking at civil government, we're going to continue some of the thoughts from last Wednesday that we began, and then we'll look at our response to civil government and the time that we have left tonight. I believe these two things I'll look at specifically tonight I can move through relatively quickly, I think. We'll see. But looking at civil government, we know that God established government, right? He established three institutions. The very first institution that God established was the family in Genesis chapter 2. The family was established by God. And then in Genesis chapter 9, he established government. And we'll look at that tonight. And then we know in the book of Acts and in the Gospels, he established the church. It's his church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. And he established his church. So the three institutions God established were the family in Genesis 2, the government in Genesis 9, and the church in the Gospels in the book of Acts. And in Genesis 9, we see the government established. In Genesis 9, verse 6, if you got your Bibles, that's where you'll find this text. It says, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." So we see here that he says in that verse, if you shed man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. You see their accountability. You see their government to oversee, to hold accountable. And you think about what the purpose of government is. I think sometimes in our today, maybe the role of government is not playing out as it should. But the role of government is to reward those who do good and to punish those who do bad. That's the role of government. It's to keep law and it's to keep order. And I think maybe as you think about anything that God or that man gets his hands on, we mess it up. God established the family in Genesis 2. And what has man done to the family? We've sought to mess it up. God established the government in Genesis 9, and man gets their hands on it. What do we do? It's getting messed up. And God established the church in Acts, and man's got his hands on it, and we're not doing so hot with that in some cases. And so we see over and over again, you see that when man gets their hands on something, it doesn't always play out as though it should, and it's not the way God established it to be. And government's no different. And so as we think about government, there's a statement up there at the top, our stance on government. We believe that civil government is of divine appointment. And let me say this, it is of divine appointment. The Bible does tell us this, and we'll see this inside of the text we'll look at here in a moment. But it is of divine appointment for the interest and good order of human society. That is the role of government, for the interest and good order of human society. God's a God of order, amen? He is a God of order. He is not the author of confusion. He is a God of order, and there should be order in society. If you imagine with me a society without government. Imagine a society without police and fire and EMT and all these things that keep law and order. Imagine a society without that. It'd be like the old Wild West days, right? Shooting them out in the streets, right? And you'd say, that sounds pretty fun until it's you getting shot in the streets, right? That's not so much fun then, right? Your house catches on fire. You need someone to come help you out. You got someone breaking into your house. You want someone to come help you out, right? Unless you got six reasons in your pocket to stop that, you need somebody to come help you, right? So you need some law and order, and so it is a good thing. And so government is there for good order of human society. We believe that magistrates are to be prayed for. Now listen, church, we should be praying for those leaders in our country, in our state, our governors, our senators, our president, and so on and so forth. We should be praying for those individuals. It says they should be honored and obeyed. They should be. There is exceptions to that, only in things opposed to the will of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll look at some of that. And so we see some of our stance there. We looked last week at two key thoughts when you think about voting. It's an interesting time, as I had mentioned last week, with us being in an election, not just an election year now. Now we're in an election week, but many of you probably already voted, right? You've already cast your votes, maybe not. I'm a kind of guy, I want to walk up on Tuesday, and I want to vote on Tuesday, amen? That's what I'm going to do. So I know some voted early, and I don't blame you for voting early, because you never know what's going to happen on Tuesday, and so I don't hold that against you. But I would say this: vote, amen. Vote, everybody's vote. Christians need to vote. Need to show up at the polls and vote your Bible, right? Don't vote a party. Don't vote a person. Vote Jesus Christ, right? Vote your scriptures and vote Jesus, and vote according to the scriptures. And now you say, well, what does that look like? Because neither one of these candidates are godly men. Now, let me say something. You're not voting for a pastor, right? You're not voting for a pastor. You're not voting for a spiritual leader. You're voting for a president, all right? We're voting for president. So what we want to do is take the candidates and compare them to the Word of God and who adheres closest to the Word of God. And as a Christian, that's who we should vote for, who's closest to the scriptures, amen? Pretty much that simple. And so what are the topics we want to look at? What are some things we want to look at? Now, I know neither one of those guys are perfect. Amen. Neither one of those guys are perfect. Both of them have their flaws. Both of them are got their issues. And so we just got to look at them and say, okay, what are the things as Christians we should stand for? And then look at those candidates and where do they stand on those topics? And that ought to sway as Christians how we cast our votes. And so I'm not going to endorse a candidate up here tonight. Talked about that last week. I'm not doing that, but you'll probably get an idea where I stand just based on some of the things the scriptures has to say. Amen. But you think about a couple things. The first thing we looked at last week was abortion. We looked at abortion, and I'm not going to re-preach that. But you know what where the Bible stands on abortion. The Bible is very clear. God is unashamedly pro-life. At the very moment of conception, that is a life. That is a life. If you think about something today. I listened to a sermon one of my buddies, Pastor Nathan, preached this past Sunday in his church, and he preached on abortion, and the title of his sermon was called The American Holocaust, and it is. You think about abortion, 61.8 million babies have been aborted since 1973, and you think about the Holocaust, right? We remember the Holocaust and how great of a tragedy that day was, and indeed it was. I'm not lessening that, but you know how many people died in the Holocaust? Between six, the numbers are kind of, depends on where you research. But between 6 to 8 million. So 6 to 8 million in Holocaust, but in America we've murdered 61.8 million babies. Almost 10 times, right? Almost 10 times abortion, the Holocaust. But yet we claim it a right, it's convenient. Anyway, don't get me started, it's sick. Anyway, so vote life, all right? The Bible makes clear that it is life. The Bible says in Psalm 131:13, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God forms that baby in the mother's womb. What did he say to Jeremiah? Before I formed thee in the mother's womb, I was with thee, and I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. He was with Jeremiah in the mother's womb. In God's eyes, the very moment that conception is made, that is a life. Amen? That is a life. And it is to be protected and preserved and to be watched out for. And so we should obviously seek to put people in leadership who would hold that as well. And so, abortion. I told you I wasn't going to re-preach that, so I got to stop. Marriage and sexuality. We looked at that last week, and we know that marriage is the very first institution God established. One man, one woman, one lifetime. Genesis 2:24-25. He says, a man will leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And that's what he established for marriage. That's what he established. There's two genders. There's male and there's female. There's one standard for marriage, and it's in Genesis chapter 2. And so we need to look at our presidential candidates and look at their stances on some of these things as well. And so let's look into a couple more tonight. Let's look at the third thing I want to look at. And on your lesson there, it's on the very bottom of the front, and you're going to flip over to the back, but it's Christian liberty or the separation of the church and state. Separation of the church and state. I think it is important that we look to who's with the church, right? Who's going to honor the Constitution? Who's going to honor what has been established throughout our history and the freedoms that we have? The First Amendment reads this. I'll read you the First Amendment word for word. It says, freedom of religion, speech, press, assembly, and petition. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And so we see a freedom there of religion, right? We see a freedom there for the church to meet, to have church, to preach the Word of God, the full counsel of the Word of God. And so obviously we need to look and ensure that those who we're casting a vote for are going to uphold that. All right, and let me say this, greater than the First Amendment is the Word of God, amen? The Word of God trumps that, because the Word of God is all truth and it trumps everything. And so we know that the church is God's church, right? It's not a state church, it's His church. And He established His church, He will build His church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's not Caesar's church, it's Jesus' church. And so we understand it's His church. And so greater than that First Amendment is the fact that it is His church. And so what does He have to say about it? What does the Scripture speak about on the church? And so we want to look to our leaders and see who will uphold, in their eyes, the First Amendment, in our eyes, the Scriptures, and keep the church separate from the state. Who will do this, and who will hold to those very truths? And I think the one thing this virus has exposed is where people stand on some of these things, right? It's exposed not just our leaders, but just people in general, right? You think about just people in general, it shows where church is in their life. Right, you think about just in general that just random people, not leaders, but just people who are out of church and have been since March, but yet they're everywhere else in the world. Right? What does that say? That their actions speak a lot louder than their words. It shows where church lies in their life. I'm going to go everywhere else. I'm going to go to school. I'm going to do all these things, but I'm not going to go to church. And you think about our leaders of our country, the leaders of our states. And they, what do they say? When you start applying the pressure to them, what do they do? And we look all across the United States of America, and you see a different reaction in all different states, don't you? You see some states where they say, I'm not going to cross those lines. Churches, do what you want to do. There's a constitutional right for you to meet. You see other states where they're stepping across that line and telling you, you can't meet, or you need to restrict your size to a certain number, or you need to meet outside, or you need to do these things. You see what happens is this virus is exposed where some people stand on some of these things, and I believe it also exposes where potentially our candidates stand on these things. And I think we ought to take that into account, because the Bible says that we should assemble. Amen? The church needs to meet. I don't know about you, but I did not like, from March 22nd through May 10th, anybody like that? I didn't like it, right? I sat in here, and Brother Banks was here, and there was a few other folks in the room, and I had this stupid phone looking at me, and I was preaching to a phone. That's terrible, right? That's terrible. I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all, and I'm sure you sitting at home didn't like it. You can't pay attention at home as much, and, you know, I appreciate our live stream. It is a ministry, and it is a benefit to get the Word of God out further, but there's nothing that beats being in church, amen? And there's a reason God said, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. I can't tell you how many people have said it's just not the same. I miss being in church. I need to be in church, right? And they miss that. And so that's so important. And Jesus commanded us to assemble. And so we need to assemble. And so we need to analyze some of those things on as we're casting our vote. Where do those individuals stand on those things? What would the restrictions or lack of restrictions be? I am thankful, and let me say this, because I do want to give credit where credit is due. The governor of the state of Ohio has not crossed those lines. The governor of the state of Ohio, Governor DeWine, has done a very good job. You could say maybe he hasn't done a good job on all things, but I'm not here to argue any of that. But as far as the church is concerned, he's never told us not to meet. He's never told us to do that. Matter of fact, he had a conference call with a bunch of pastors all throughout the state of Ohio early on. This was back in probably late March, early April, somewhere in there. And he had a conference call with a bunch of pastors all over the state, and he says, look, listen, I'm not going to cross the Constitution. I'm not going to cross that First Amendment. I'm not going to go across that. I'll give you suggestions. I'll give you recommendations, but you need to do as you feel led. I would encourage you to be safe, be smart in how you do it. And he never told us, don't meet. But that's not the case in all 50 states in America, is it? That's been different in other states. There's churches who had church and left the church with a $5,000 fine sitting on the front door. There's churches who pastors have been threatened, have been locked up for having church in the United States of America. Who would have thought we'd ever see those days? Amen. And so we need to think about those things. And there is a separation of church and state. It is a biblical thing. Render under Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and under God the things that are God. There is a distinct difference between the two. The state should not tell us we can't meet, restrict the size, you can't do this, you can't do that. They cannot do that. Biblically, they can't do that. Forget the amendment. They biblically cannot tell us to do that. We will meet. We will assemble. We will gather. And so we need to look at some of those things. What does the scriptures say on these things? And we need to think about that as we're voting. And so we think about our leaders. And what does that look like? Again, we know that leaders in Daniel 2:21, God puts them up, takes them down. In Daniel 2:21, as I had mentioned a little bit earlier, says he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings, setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that no understanding. And so he takes up, removes, and puts kings in positions. And so we need to understand something about November the 3rd, or I guess whenever we find out who our president is. Are y'all as worried about like November 4th as I am? Could be interesting, but we'll see how that plays out. But anyway, it doesn't matter who our appointed president is. Here's what we need to understand on November 4th. It does matter, but once that day happens and once that decision is made, as Christians, there's something we have to understand. God is sovereign. He is sovereign. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is everywhere. Nothing happens inside of this world that has not passed through the hands of our God, right? And so whoever is president on November the 4th, or I guess next year, whoever the president is elected, our God has allowed that to happen. Whether that's who you wanted or not who you wanted, God has allowed that to happen. And as Christians, we have a responsibility with that as well. And we'll look at that here in just a second. We're called to pray for them and submit to them. And so we see a few things about our leadership, that God places them in position, and we're called to pray and submit to their leadership. Now, we're not called to rebel against our authorities, not unless it violates the word of God. When the authorities do not rebel, or do not, go against our scriptures, we are called to obey. Listen, to rebel is not a good thing. Rebellion is not spoke well of in scripture. To resist, y'all see those bumper stickers on cars say resist? Ever seen those out there before? Resist, resist, resist. There's like something inside of our society that says resist everything. And not everything needs to be resisted, amen? I mean, there's some things we need to resist. How about we resist sin for a little while? How about we resist social media and the news for a little while? Let's resist some of that stuff. But not everything needs to be resisted. But we're like, they have this like mindset in our society, resist everything. Well, the Bible speaks against about rebellion, and here's what it says in 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That's not good, right? That's not good. And so we don't want to be known for rebelling against authority. I don't want to be known as a Christian for rebelling against authority, unless, of course, it violates the word of God. And in that situation, we need to. But in other situations, we just need to obey. And so we need to submit, and we'll look at some more of that here in just a minute. You think about as a church, let me just say this. You think about as me as a pastor, you as a Christian, us as a church, First Baptist Church of Ashland, what do we want to be known for? When I think about what I want to be known for and what I want the church to be known for, it's not rebellion or resisting or Republican or Democrat. I want to be known for Jesus Christ, right? I want to be known for the gospel. I want to see 50-some missionaries scattered around the world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and people getting saved all over the place. I want to see people getting saved at FBC and walking the aisle and getting right with God and baptized and discipled. That's what I want to be known for. And so we think about, this election and all the unrest and a divided country and the church, when everything else is going crazy, God is a God of order. The church needs to be in order. And the order of the church is the gospel of Jesus Christ and the mission that he's called us to. And so let us not get sidetracked by it either. Let us stay focused on the gospel. Let us stay focused on what he's commissioned and commanded us to do. We want to be known for the gospel. Obviously, there are lines that we draw if it does indeed violate the scriptures. We do have lines we draw in those situations. So we have to be cautious against some of those things. If the state or the country or whatever tell us to not have church, we're going to have church. I don't know what will happen if that happens, but we're going to have church. If the state or the country would ever come in and say, Pastor Matt, you can no longer preach on these four topics out of the scriptures, I'm sorry, I'm going to preach the full counsel of the Word of God, and we'll see what happens. There are certain lines that can't be crossed, but in other matters, we submit. And so unless it violates the Word of God, we are to submit to what the authorities say. So above the Constitution, we have the Word of God. Again, let me remind you of something. This is Jesus' church, Matthew 22, 21 through 22. Render unto Caesar things that are Caesar's, under God the things that are God's. Hebrews 10, 25, not to forsake the assembling. And we know in Acts 5, when Peter was told not to preach the name of Jesus, he says, I ought to obey God rather than men. And so we see times where we should, but we also know that there ought to be times we just need to simply obey. And so we need to be mindful of those things and stay close in tune to our Lord and the Scriptures so that we know when to do those things. And let me give you just a few things on our authorities before I move on to our fourth one. Let me say this. Let me take you through some Scripture here for just a moment. In 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3, and I think we would be way better served in all cases to just follow what the Scriptures say. Would you say amen tonight? Just follow the Scriptures, right? He says, I exhort therefore, 1 Timothy 2, 1, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. And let me ask you to do something if you aren't already. I know I haven't always been as I should in this respect, but if you're not already praying for your president, your future president, your governors, your local leaders, you should be. We should be. I should be. We should be praying for them. We should be praying for their salvation, right? We should be praying for their salvation. We should be praying for our president if he is not saved to get saved. We should be praying for the future president to be saved if he's not saved. We should be praying for them, praying for our leaders, that God would guide them. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, right? So we want to pray for those individuals. And we know we need to submit to them, and we'll look at some more of that here in just a minute. I won't get ahead of myself. The fourth thing to think about when voting, the fourth thing to consider is Israel. Israel. You say, why is Israel a big deal? Well, because God makes Israel a big deal, right? He makes Israel a big deal. In Genesis 12, 1 through 3, he says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And we know, speaking there of Jesus Christ. But he says in verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. That's pretty clear language. Those who side with and are allies, so to speak, of the nation of Israel, we see blessing. You bless Israel, he blesses you. You curse Israel, he curses you. You look at the situation of our country throughout the history of our country, and we've seen we've been allies with Israel. Think about America for just a moment. Now, I know America's got her challenges, right? But at the end of the day, America's a great country. Amen? America's a great country. It's a wonderful country, right? We're free, right? We're prosperous as a country. We are free to have church. We're free to, the freedoms we experience, they don't experience throughout all the world. Right? If we got out more, we'd realize how blessed we are, right? And we see that America truly is blessed. I do believe, if you look through the history, and would you say with me that tonight, that God has blessed America. Over the years, he has, right? He's absolutely blessed America. And you say, well, why is that? Why has he blessed America? And I believe it stems back to many things, but this is part of it, that if you look through the history of America, we've been an ally of Israel. We've been an ally of Israel. And I'm not saying we always haven't done the right thing. We haven't always done the right thing. We've been an ally of Israel. And the Bible makes clear in Genesis 12, 3, he will bless them the blessing and curse them that curseth thee. And I think we need to look as we are voting of who's going to keep us on Israel's side. Amen? Who's going to side with Israel and be with Israel and who's not? And we need to know those things. And what does that look like? I don't want to be on the wrong side of Genesis 12, 3. Right? I don't want to be on the cursed side. Go through the Old Testament, and if we had time, we'd do it. But look at the country, the nations that stood against Israel and what happened. It wasn't pretty, right? It was never a good thing. Right? It was never a good thing. And so I don't want to be on the wrong side of Genesis 12:3. I want to stay on the right side of Genesis 12:3. And so even though I may not agree with everything Israel does, we better side with Israel. Amen? We better side with Israel, have relations with Israel, be a protection of Israel, be an ally of Israel, because that is God's chosen people. I fear the day that we no longer stand with Israel, not because of Israel, but because of the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. Right? We ought to have a fear of the Lord in those situations. And so we don't want to be on the wrong side of Genesis 12:3. And so that's another thing to keep in mind as we think about casting our ballots, something to consider. And so what is our response to government? And so as we think about what happens beyond November the 3rd, what is the role of government? And let me just give you a few things quickly. Some of these we've already hit inside of this lesson. We know that, look at the role of civil government. Civil government was established by God, Genesis 9. I won't belabor that. You already got it. God established government. The second institution he created, was government. He put it in place. Capital punishment was put into place in Genesis 9:6. And so it's to reward those who do good and to punish those who do not. Civil government is divinely ordained by God. In Romans 13:1, it is ordained by God. It talks about it in Daniel 2:21 that we just looked at a minute ago. It is ordained by the Lord. And so we see it is ordained by God. Civil government is to keep order. That is the purpose of it. In verse 3 of Romans 13, to do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Verse 4, if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. And so we see that law and order is a good thing. And government is here to keep order. That is the role of government. Civil government is to collect taxes. How many of y'all say amen to that? I hate taxes too, but they're a good thing. I know we don't like to pay them, but how do you think those folks who take care of us get paid, right? And you begin to think about what our tax dollars go to. Now, I don't agree with everything our tax dollars go to, amen? I don't agree with everything it goes to, but I'm thankful I've got a police officer if I need them. I'm thankful there's someone fighting fires if I need them. I'm thankful for EMT. I'm thankful for those things, that those tax dollars. I'm thankful for roadways, and I'm thankful for all those things that we have that our tax dollars fund. And so we are to pay taxes. And so I've heard Christians say before, I disagree with, you know, my taxes going to a certain thing. I'm not going to pay taxes. And usually they end up in jail for tax invasion, right? So don't do that, right? Pay taxes. Pay taxes. What did he say in Matthew 22? Render unto Caesar the thing that are Caesar's. Render to God the things that are God. I don't like paying taxes as much as anybody else, but I'm going to do it because God said to do it, right? God said to do it. Pay taxes. And I'm thankful for some of the things that taxes do indeed fund. Not everything, but some of the things in which they do. And so we see paying taxes is commanded in Scripture. Our response to government, our response to civil government, as we see in Romans 13. Go in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. Let me walk through just a few things here, and as we conclude tonight. Romans 13, 1 through 7 gives us a very clear teaching, and likely one of the most specific or clearest teaching that you're going to find in the New Testament on the Christian's responsibility to civil authority. You can find it in a couple places, but it's pretty clear right here. Romans 13, 1 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Right? That doesn't say resist, rebel, run, you know, scream against. Right? It doesn't say that. It says to be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And so we're called to submit to those in higher power. That's a military term, right? That word submit is a military term, to fall in line with. You think about a soldier in the army. They better fall in line, right? They don't fall in line in the military. Maybe not so much in 2020 as they did back in the day, but they'll get an earful for not doing that. And so you submit, you fall in line to the subjects. Authority is a good thing. And so we submit to the higher powers. We are to pay taxes. Romans 13, 6 and 7 talks about those things. Pay tribute, right? Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So we do pay our taxes. We honor and respect our leaders. Listen, as a Christian, let me, you know, and I'm guilty. I'll be the first to admit of this, but it's something we probably all need to think about when we speak. We ought not speak ill of our leaders. We ought not speak ill of our leaders, to honor and respect our leaders. Kind of the old adage, if you don't have anything nice to say, just don't say anything at all, right? Just shut up, right? And don't talk. right? And so sometimes, you know, I heard that the Lord gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. We need to listen twice as much as we talk, right? And so honor and respect our leaders. Pray for them, as we saw a minute ago. It is also wrong to rebel against authority. Listen, we can't be right with God and in conflict with authorities, right? That's true in a lot of different areas, but we need to align with God's word. To be right with God, we need to align with his word. And his word says to be subject to them. So if we're rebelling, we're not right with the Lord because we're disobeying God. We're disobeying what he's called us to do. And so we can't rebel against authority. Again, if it's not something that goes against the word of God, that's a different scenario. But otherwise, we are called to submit and be in subject to them. Who establishes that authority? God clearly establishes authority. Daniel 2:21 and other places that we saw. What happens when we rebel against authority? We're ultimately rebelling against God. It's just like anything else. Anything that God establishes, if we go against it, we're rebelling ultimately against God. We rebel against his word, we're rebelling against God. We rebel against a relationship, we're rebelling against the Lord. If we rebel against whatever it is, no matter what it is, we're ultimately rebelling against the Lord, the one who established that and set that up. And you cannot be right with God and live in rebellion. And so we don't want to rebel against authority. We want to be subject to them, as the scriptures say. And again, the only time is that when it goes contrary to the word of God. And in those situations, we obey God over men. We know there's many examples. Daniel, you think about the two midwives in Exodus when Moses was born, Shipra and Pua. They refused to eliminate the boys, and they saved Moses alive. And you think about many places. There's other places we could look at. But there are times when we honor God above men, and we go against what the government says if it violates the word of God. But let me ask you something as we close, or ask you to be mindful of something. I don't know how much you do pray for your leaders. I don't know how much you do pray for your president or your local leaders, but we're commanded biblically to pray. And so I'd encourage you, especially at this point in time, every election, it seems like we say it's a critical election, and that's always true, right? That's always a true statement. And so I would encourage you to be praying if you haven't already. Maybe you haven't been praying as you should, to be praying for our leaders. Pray for their salvation. The greatest thing that's going to impact the nation is not a new president, but it's the Lord, right? And if the Lord can get a hold of a president, that's a wonderful thing. Amen? That's a wonderful thing. And so pray for their salvation. Pray the church stay focused on the church. The church stays focused on the gospel and the Great Commission. And we know that we ultimately have the solution to the world, and that is the Great Commission. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so let us stay focused in the midst of all that's going on around us as well. So you think about civil government, we see our role there, and we see some things we ought to be mindful of as we approach the polls. And so be praying for our election up and coming. Let's close out tonight in a word of prayer. Thank you all so much for being out with us tonight. Looking forward to a great day this Sunday. Be sure to come out as we kick off our family month. Excited to get November underway. Looking forward to another great month. October was wonderful, and looking forward to November. But let's close out tonight in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and God, I thank you so much for this night. I thank you for the opportunity we have to come and to gather in your house with your people and your word. And God, I pray that you would just help us individually, Lord, to be mindful, Lord, of the gospel above all else. Lord, as we look ahead, we see a lot of uncertainty and a lot of things in our country, our nation. It is divided. Lord, we see a lot of folks at odds with one another over things that are Republican versus Democrat, conservative versus liberal, and so on and so forth. But Lord, help us as a Christian, help us as a church to stay focused on the Great Commission, to stay focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ, to not lose sight of that. Lord, we know that the solution to our nation doesn't lie in the White House, but it relies in the church house. And so God, help us to be focused on the gospel. Help us to stay the course. We do pray for our leaders, God. We do pray for our governors, our local leaders, our national leaders. We pray for them. We pray for their salvation. We do pray for this upcoming election. We pray you'd have your will and way. We know that you're in control of it. You are a sovereign, all-powerful God. You're all-knowing, and you'll place on as president who you deem to be fit, and we pray you'd have your will and way in that. And may we just submit according to the scriptures with the outcome of that. And Father, we just put all these things in your hands and pray your will be done. Father, have your will and have your way. We pray for our nation. God, as we look, we do live in the greatest nation in the world, and we're thankful for it. We thank you for blessing this nation. We thank you for blessing our country. And God, I pray that our country would stay focused on you, return to you in areas in which we have gotten away. Lord, forgive us of our sins as a nation. Lord, there's many things we've done that have gone away and contrary to your word. Forgive us of that. And Lord, help us to return back to where we need to be. Lord, just have your will and way in all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.